on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, over 3% of primary school children in Donegal have tested positive for COVID-19 over the last fortnight. It's emerged that Donegal County Council has not established any form of contact with any suppliers of potentially mica-affected blocks used in the council houses. Meanwhile, Minister Charney McConlogue is confident the enhanced mica redress scheme will serve all affected homeowners. And Donegal County Council has taken the decision not to increase commercial rates next year. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport coming up with Oisin Kelly at about 5:15. First news though, a number of senior ministers are meeting this evening to discuss financial supports for the hospitality sector. They may include delaying cuts to the wage subsidy scheme and reactivating the CRSS payments for pubs and restaurants. It comes as the hospitality sector is reporting many people cancelling bookings amid the rising number of COVID cases. Taoiseach Micheál Martin, however, has said he believes there are ways to avoid further restrictions.
I would reiterate what the Chief Medical Officer said this morning, that we can reduce the spread of this virus, and I think even some of the steps that people have taken are welcome. I think that reflects that people are responding in a common sense and sensible way to the situation that we now face. I do believe we can make progress on this and we can reduce the spread of the virus across the society and across the country.
1,469 new cases of COVID-19, meanwhile, have been detected in Northern Ireland. Three more deaths linked to the virus have been reported. Stormont is meeting today to decide whether or not to bring in new COVID restrictions. The measures under consideration include enforcement on mask wearing and a new scores in the door system that would rate businesses on their compliance with COVID health advice. Over 3% of primary school children in Donegal have tested positive for COVID-19 over the last fortnight. A snapshot survey from the INTO has revealed that an average of 3.2% of their pupils tested positive for the virus between the 1st and 16th of November. It also found that 605 teachers were absent with COVID-19 during the same period, and there was no available cover for around a third of the absences. INTO President Joe McKeown, speaking on today's 9 till noon show, believes contact tracing for pupils is vital.
I don't think it really matters where they catch it. I think if they have it, they're quite likely to transmit it. And so the issue for us is that right now we are very, very clear that there are almost 9,000 children who have COVID-19 who are primary school age. We also know that from the government's own figures that there are probably 14,000 primary school children who are asymptomatic and who are in our schools who have COVID, and we don't know who they are. So we think contact tracing is really, really important. Mm. In our survey, we could see that 3.2% of the pupils in Donegal in the past 2 weeks had COVID. And it's not about where they got it. It's about what happens when they have it. And that's the issue we want to address. But one of the differences that we find is that if you get, if a child tests positive for COVID-19 at home, mammy or daddy can ring the public health and get public health advice as what to do. But for the principal in the school, the public health advice that was available to them is not there. So, for example, principals who've been contacting me this morning telling me that they had to notify maybe 14 or 15 parents, and the parents are saying to the principal, yes, and what do I do? Mm. And they're looking for public health advice from the principal, which the principal doesn't have.
Well, the Department of Education is looking at getting final year trainee teachers to take on substitute roles to deal with absenteeism due to COVID-19. A meeting will take place tomorrow between the teachers' unions and Education Minister Norma Foley on resolving issues of teachers calling in sick. Simon Lewis, principal of Carlo Educate Together National School, says finding substitutes is extremely tough.
I had 9 staff out today and I was only able to get cover for a handful of them. So again, we've had to pull on our special education teachers to come in and rescue us in terms of covering classes.
New information from The Independent has revealed that Donegal County Council has not established any form of contact with any suppliers of potentially mica-affected blocks used in council houses. It's believed that when asked, the council had no records available of any form of communication between them and block manufacturers they are believed to have purchased defective blocks from. It was also revealed that up to 1,300 council houses in the county have suspected mica. Daniel Brennan has more.
In footpath studies of council-owned homes conducted by Donegal County Council, up to 1,300 social houses owned by the council have suspected signs of mica, according to documents received by the Independent following a Freedom of Information request. Yet the council say they have not had any contact with the suppliers of blocks used to build the potentially mica-affected council homes they own. It was also revealed in that same FOI request that the council has only contacted the Department of Housing regarding that matter only once, in June of 2020, where it revealed to the department the number of council houses with suspected mica, with only 31 of those at the time requiring immediate intervention by the council, due in part to a lack of mica testing on other suspected council homes.
Minister Charlie McCullough, meanwhile, is confident the enhanced mica redress scheme will serve all affected homeowners. Engagement across government departments on the greatly anticipated scheme is continuing, with a memo expected to be brought before Cabinet shortly. Minister McCullough says a lot of good progress has been made over the last few weeks, and he's hopeful the details will be finalised shortly.
I do believe it will coming to a conclusion now over the next short period of time. It is a really big decision for the government to make, one which will have financial implications for the years ahead. And of course, it's a really big decision for all of the homeowners affected. And it's important that we do get the scheme right. So I have been engaging closely with my cabinet colleagues, and there has been very, very significant work ongoing, and that is progressing now every day. And I do hope now that very soon they'll be in a position for a memo to come to Cabinet and ultimately for a scheme which will properly serve homeowners and which will facilitate them in covering the full cost of getting their homes fixed. I'm confident that we will get a scheme which will serve homeowners well. But there is some remaining work, but really good progress has been made. And I'm hopeful now that that work will conclude over the next short period of time.
And are you confident that this enhanced scheme will serve all homeowners with regards to, we were hearing, leaks of certain caps, etc.?
Well, all homes are being considered as part of the discussions, and what we want to ensure is that there are solutions available for every home to become fixed. So these all details will now be finalised as part of the remaining discussions. It's something the government wants to ensure that there is a comprehensive solution put in place which deals with the issue properly, and the scheme that's put in place will stand the test of time and ensure that the issue is addressed for everyone. So I'm confident that with the desire and will that there across all the ministers that are involved, and indeed with a very strong commitment to the Taoiseach to address this issue as well, that we will conclude the work soon and that we will see a memo brought to Cabinet in the next period of time.
Donegal County Council has taken the decision not to increase commercial rates next year. This is despite the local authority's own depleted financial situation, according to the budget book for 2022. The council meets this Thursday to discuss the budget for the year ahead, where they will hear the decision is based on the need to allow many businesses transition from a COVID era to normal trading. But Councillor Nicholas Crossan says a revaluation, which was put on hold due to the pandemic, will be looked at next year.
Back in July, we took a very, very difficult decision to increase the local property tax, or maintain the property tax as it was the year before. That brought in extra money for us that we were able to carry out these projects. That had left it a little bit easier to give the businesses a break this year.
Will next year, though, be challenging from the council's perspective in order to fund various projects now, though, all the same?
Yes, every year is challenging, Catherine. We all want... We don't want businesses to stop. We don't want the Donegal County Council business. We must carry on our day-to-day basis. The Donegal County Council, during the pandemic, ensured that we carried on business as much as possible, as usual. But it's very, very difficult. So what we have to do is we plan ahead for a year, obviously. This is what our budget is. It is very, very challenging. It is very challenging every year for it. There is a revaluation that was put on hold because of the pandemic of businesses and how they're going to be rated going forward. And we'll have to look at that next year and see how that either, well, what way it affects businesses. Some will be pay more, some will pay less. So we have to look at that next year.
An investigation is underway into the cause of a morning fire at a business premises in Derry. Extensive damage has been caused to popular restaurant Fitzroy's, while a number of nearby buildings have suffered smoke damage. The eateries say they are devastated, and as a result of the fire, they will be closed until further notice. Hundreds of people gathered at Donegal border crossings on Saturday calling for the post-Brexit arrangements introduced for the north to be protected. The latest protest, organised by border communities against Brexit, come amid growing fears Britain could trigger Article 16 of the protocol arrangement, a move which could see a return of a hard border in Ireland. The protests took place at Lifford Bridge, Bridge End and other border crossings, highlighting people's opposition to the threat. Donegal spokesperson Tom Murray says further protests could be on the cards.
But it was very, very successful, so a message was sent clearly to governments on this island and the government in London. And we had representatives of nearly all political parties on the island at the protest bar one. So I think, yes, the protest was somewhat effective. And if necessary, there will be further protests.
We
will also be increasing our lobbying campaign directly. And we do have a connection directly with Marius Sefcovic, so we will be contacting his office again this week, as we were in the last number of weeks. And we will be continuing our lobbying with the Irish America as well, Richie Neal, who's the head of the Ways and Means Committee in the House of Representatives. He was actually on the border in Lifford with me over the last year or two, and he's very keenly aware of the issues around Brexit. So we'll be continuing lobbying both locally, nationally and internationally.
We do see quite worrying reports, I'm sure, from your own perspective, of UK government ministers writing in papers over the weekend negatively about the Northern Ireland Protocol and potentially triggering Article 16. I'm sure from your perspective, that's quite unhelpful.
It's extremely unhelpful, and the majority of the commentary coming from those who have been lobbied, including a lot of the MPs in London and in parts of Britain, are people who don't fully understand the protocol. The basis of the matter is the protocol has created huge economic opportunity in the border regions which were deprived, and regions which had high unemployment historically.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, where the Christmas Club is now open. Shop online 24/7 at michaelmurphysports.ie.
At 5:15, it's time for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We're going to start with some soccer news. Derry City have completed the signing of midfielder Will Patching on a 2-year deal. The 23-year-old spent the first half of the season at the Brandywell on loan from Dundalk. His 6 goals and 6 assists and 16 outings made him an absolute fan's favourite on Foyleside before he was recalled by his parent club at the end of June. Derry boss Rory Higgins says there'll be lots more to come from Will in his second stint at the club.
Delighted they welcome Will back to the club. I think we all seen firsthand how good he was here during his loan period, and we would have liked to have brought him here in the summer, but it was very evident early on that it wasn't going to happen. But this is our first available opportunity to do it, and we've brought him back, and I think Derry City supporters will be delighted to see it. He was fantastic in his period here, and I think there's so much more to come from him. Every attribute you want in a midfield player, he's got it. And a really, really good person as well. He'll fit into the group again.
Derry boss Rory Higgins, who is expecting more to come from Will Patching as he returns to the club. Michael Carrick says he's prepared to take on the sacrifices of being Manchester United's interim manager for as long as the club wants. He's been placed in temporary charge at Old Trafford while the hierarchy search for a long-term successor to the sacked Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Carrick was the Norwegian's assistant and admits he won't make sweeping changes to the way they play.
I've worked closely with Ollie for a long time now, and we do have very similar beliefs. We did as players, we certainly do as coach and manager. Yes, of course, I've got my own personality, and I'm very clear in my own mind what we want to do, how we want to play, how we want to go about it, and looking forward to seeing that on the pitch.
Gareth Southgate insists he hasn't been tempted by any of the recent job openings in the Premier League. He signed a new contract as England manager that will see him stay on as boss until at least the end of 2014. The Republic of Ireland men's under 16 team won the first of three friendly games in Spain today. They defeated Norway by 3-0. Finn Harp's Sean Patton played the closing 20 minutes of the tie, coming on as a second half substitute. Next up for Ireland is a game against the Spanish on Wednesday. In athletics, Letterkenny AC took a first ever senior national cross-country title on Sunday. The ladies from the Cathedral Town won the team event, led out by Anne-Marie McGlynn, who finished sixth. Nikita Burke, Christine Russell and Natasha Adams were the other scorers. Neve Kelly was also part of the team. They finished 11 points clear of second place Leeville AC. Letterkenny coach Teresa McDade said Sunday was a special day for the club.
I could assure you, like a national senior cross-country, and particularly for some of the, particularly maybe say the stalwarts, a cross-country team would be a massive big thing. Inter-clubs would be a massive big achievement, sort of thing. Like, and again, when you're coming up against, you know, as a provincial club, coming up against big city clubs, you know, the likes of, say, Leeville that have won it for the last 4 years in a row were very much the ones identifying to beat it. So, yeah, listen, that's great. Girls all ran really, really well, and it was a nice plan that came together.
So going on to the event, and I suppose from a number of weeks out, you had identified a target of becoming champions then, Teresa. Is that fair enough to say?
Aye, without a doubt. We had, and in fairness, I suppose I have to give some credit to my husband, who's always picking, sort of saying, listen, if we could only get our girls out, there's an opportunity to win that sort of thing. Like, and I suppose this year, particularly with the likes of Anne-Marie McGlynn kind of coming off the marathon profile to sort of kind of had decided to run European cross country. And then the likes of, say, Christine Russell, that's actually running really well at the minute and has come back to athletics from a long layoff as a youngster. You know, the bones of a team was there. So it was a case then of talking to all the girls and sort of getting that commitment from them. And to be fair, they were all up for it.
That's Teresa McDade, coach at Letterkenny AC, following their national success yesterday. There was an excellent individual performance by Roisin Flanagan as she finished third in the ladies' category. She will be selected now to represent Ireland at next month's European Cross Country Championships. Her sister Eilish could also be selected for the Europeans after a strong performance in America over the weekend. That team is expected to be confirmed possibly tomorrow. And Fun Valley were crowned All-Ireland Under-20 champions yesterday as well. Emer McCarroll, Sarah Bradley, Nuala Boss, Cara Lafferty and Emer O'Brien were the winning team there. Let me turn our attention now to Gaelic games. Wadi Grahams from Glen will meet Scotstown in the quarterfinal of the Ulster Club Championship after the Derry champions seen off St Unan's by a point on Sunday. From a St Unan's point of view, they will be frustrated that they didn't see the game out when they had their chances, but Glen went on to kick the final three scores off the game to take the win. Martin McHugh was on commentary for Highland Radio Sport yesterday afternoon. He is now tipping the Derry side for Ulster success.
Celtic a good team to beat them because they're bigger players. They'll definitely play better, I would say, the next day. I think Glenn will beat Scotstown now, my own opinion. I don't think Scotstown are the team they were in the past, and I think this game will help Glenn a lot. It will definitely, they haven't got any game like that in Derry. They hammered every team in Derry. That's a game will stand for them, everything about it, and the character they showed to win at the end of that will all stand for them. So I think
they'll beat Kilcoo if they meet them down the line.
I think Kilcoo are not the team they were either. You know, it's very hard. I thought Unions the best chance of beating them, actually, would you believe it? Because they were able to match them player wise, and it's proven that today, you know, football wise and everything else. I think this team, I'll say now, I'll make a bold statement that they'll win Ulster.
So a big call by Martin McHugh. Finally in boxing, Jason Quigley said he suffered a broken jaw during his WBO World Middleweight title fight on Friday night in New Hampshire. The champion Demetrius Andre had Quigley on the deck on three occasions as the referee stopped the fight 2 minutes and 24 seconds into the second round. On a social media post on Sunday evening, Jason confirmed he suffered the jaw injury in the first round. He added that when he returns home to Donegal, he will look at what is next for him. And that's your sport this Monday evening. Don't forget the DEL debate presented by Brendan Devaney will be available as a podcast on highlandradio.com and will air just after the 7 o'clock news this evening as well, as Brendan recaps the Ulster Championship club football from the weekend. Michaela.
Thanks, Oisin. And returning to some news, a man has appeared before Donegal District Court today, charged in connection with the discovery of a suspected cannabis grow house in Sligo at the weekend. The man in his 40s is the second person to be charged after the suspected grow house was found on Saturday. The first man who was charged appeared at Carrick-on-Shannon District Court yesterday. Two other men who were arrested in connection with the discovery were previously released without charge. And finally, Letterkenny is set to benefit from improvements to the town's water network carried out by Irish Water to support economic, social development and tourism. The pipeline interconnector project saw the Pollen Water Supply Scheme connected with the Letterkenny Regional Water Supply Scheme via a 14-kilometre trunk water main, as well as the provision of three pumping stations at Dundosford, Milltown and Bohullion. The utility say the project has facilitated an over 10% increase in water supply to the Letterkenny area, while the construction of approximately 11 kilometres of new trunk water mains will also provide increased water availability and resilience to the Milford and Rathmullen areas. Weather now, cloudy this evening with some drizzle. Tonight will be mostly cloudy also with lowest temperatures of 3 to 5 degrees. And the closing headlines this evening, a number of senior ministers are meeting to discuss financial support for the hospitality sector. They may include delaying cuts to the wage subsidy scheme and reactivating the CRSS payments for pubs and restaurants. Over 3% of primary school children in Donegal have tested positive for COVID-19 over the last fortnight. A snapshot survey from the INTO has revealed that an average of 3.2% of their pupils tested positive for the virus between the 1st and 16th of November. New information from The Independent has revealed that Donegal County Council has not established any form of contact with any suppliers of potentially mica-affected defective blocks used in council houses. It's believed that when asked, the council had no records available of any form of communication between them and block manufacturers they are believed to have purchased defective blocks from. And the council has taken the decision not to increase commercial rates next year. This is despite the local authority's own depleted financial situation, according to the budget book for 2022. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for this Monday evening, November the 22nd. The death has taken place of Freddie Duncan, Castle 3rd, Carrigans. His remains will repose at his home from 8 o'clock this evening. Removal from there on Wednesday afternoon at 1:30 for 2 o'clock funeral service in Monray Presbyterian Church, followed by burial in the family plot in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu and aid of Monray National School, care of any family member or Terence McClintock, funeral director. The death has taken place of Sheila Meehan, Ard Erin Moville. Sheila's remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Pius X Church, Moville, followed by burial in Ballybrack Cemetery. Family flowers only, donations if desired to St Vincent de Paul, care of any family member. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on movilleparish.com. The death has occurred of John Gormley, Mullin T. Boyle, Glenties and formerly of Ballinamore, County Leitrim. Remains are en route to St Connell's Church, Glenties for 6 o'clock to repose overnight. You may sympathise with the family until 8 o'clock. House private. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv/Glenties. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to Killybegs Community Hospital, care of James McGuinness, funeral directors or any family member. And the death has occurred of Marie Doherty, née Lynch, Linsfort Buncrana. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Fiona from there tomorrow morning at 11:15, going to the Star of the Sea Church Desert Tegney for funeral mass at 12 noon, interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. Family flyers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Dialysis Renal Unit, Altna Galvin Hospital, care of Derek McCabe, funeral director, or any family member. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.